Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-host Bill Johnson and Chris Sardern. The Watchman Weekly can be found at watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Hi, guys.
Oh, good. Hello. I'm very pleased to be here with you, gentlemen.
Yeah, I am too. I'm really excited about tonight.
Audience, it was a pretty lively pre-show. We'll be doing our continuing study on Revelation 11. It'll be a prolonged study, audience. This is the meat of Scripture, and we're working very hard at a Joe Lunchbox attitude of studying in hopes of discerning the meat of Scripture. And that's exactly what Revelation chapter 11 is. It is the embodiment of the meat, the manna, spoken of by the prophets and the prophet John. We'll start, Chris, with current events.
Yeah, there's so much going on out there with the Wall Street protests, and I'm just really picking up on the fact that it's got the UN Lucius Trust New Age agenda just all over it. I go around and listen to what some of the alternative media is saying, and I've got my opinions about everybody, and one person I have followed over the years that I've been awake is Constance Cumby. She's been a real spokesman for the New Age infiltration of the church, and I really appreciate her work. I don't agree with all her doctrine. She's got some stuff that I have certainly taken exception to, but she really does understand this New Age movement. It's very real, very big. It's just and it just seems like the thing she's saying is this is it. They tried to get the thing going in the 60s and then the 80s, and it just didn't. But now with the global communication and this leaderless revolution that's going on with this Wall Street thing,
they couldn't get it going in the 60s for the simple reason they hadn't brought women's liberation yet. That's what broke the Bank of America.
Yeah, I know that's a huge turning point.
Yeah,
but the like the website they're using, October15th.com or something like that, was the domain name was secured by Lucius Trust. That's the global governance movement, out of the United Nations, which, it's just got the Vatican, Jesuits' signature all over it. It's just all about the infiltration of true Christianity is what it's all about. At every angle that Satan can come at. And, right. His house is divided, and that this thing is having its internal struggles. But it's, and then, now with the economy, with this bailout package they came up with for Europe. It's you know, it's just all bad. You know, now the dollar's crashing and the pendulum's swinging there again. I don't know what how much time they're going to get, but you know, I think they're just getting a little bit more time kicking this can down the road. But you know, the word is that this time next year, 2012, you know, they want this chaos fully, you know, underway, which is what their plan has been in their writings. You know, Alice Bailey and all the, you know, the Luciferian, New Age thinkers have always talked about that global chaos that it was going to take to implement the one world, really Luciferian satanic religion. You know, all still in the name of Christianity. Christianity is welcome in this thing. You know, bring your Jesus. Just don't, you know, force them down anybody's throat mentality. And you know how many Christians are falling for it, thinking it's a great idea. But anytime you see world peace, you hear world peace, you basically know there's someone that's not reading their scripture.
Bill?
Amen. Yeah, I don't normally have a whole lot to say on the current events, but I will speak this week on this. Vatican calls for global public authority, GPA. I mean, their fingerprints are all over it here. It says they called Monday. I'm just going to read this because this is a short article, and I would like to stop at times during this article and just make a few comments. The Vatican called on Monday for the establishment of a global public authority and a central world bank to rule over financial institutions that have become outdated and often ineffective in dealing fairly with crisis. Right there, this was your purpose of them bringing the Glass-Steagall in 1999 right there, so this could come about, this situation. And, wow. And all of Greenspan's stuff that he brought to bring everything down.
Right.
And the current event that's not being...
The document from the Vatican Justice and Peace should please the Occupy Wall Street demonstrators. See, we all know that those Occupy Wall Street demonstrators, they were set up in 3 days. You don't get that kind of money from grassroots movement and move out in 3 days and have all that set up. It didn't happen. No, that was all prearranged. I know you two gentlemen know that.
Yeah.
Just like the audience know that Wall Street thing. What a perfect timing on that, huh?
Absolutely.
Now, towards reforming the international finance and monetary system in the context of a global public authority. Anytime I hear that word public, I start puking. You know, it first came in 1933 with Roosevelt, public policy, you know.
Oh.
And it's, you know, it all sounds nice on the surface. Was at times very specific, calling, for example, for taxation measures on financial transactions. The economic and financial crisis, which the world is going through, calls everyone. It's going to call everyone. You know, I think it was God. Didn't he call everyone to repentance? Individuals and peoples to examine in depth the principles and the cultural and moral values at the basis of social coexistence. Now, I ask you, morals, what does moral values have to do with social? Once again, see the words they put in there, social existence?
Yeah. Sounds like Noahide to me.
I mean, this is true, just pure tripe here.
Yeah.
It condemned what is called the idolatry of Martin. Yeah, as well as neoliberal thinking, as well as that it said looked exclusively at technical solutions to economic problems. I'm getting down to the very last paragraphs here, and one of them is so big. In fact, the crisis has revealed behaviors like selfishness, collective greed, hoarding of goods on a great scale. It's said, adding that the world economics needed an ethic of solidarity among rich and poor nations. That means we're all going to be taken down to the level of India. But who could the Catholic Church talk about anybody being selfish, anybody being collective greed, anybody hoarding? How could the Vatican even speak of this? They're the biggest hoarders, the biggest there are, a collective greed on planet Earth. And of court herein, if no solutions are found to the various forms of injustice, the negative effects that will follow on social, political, and economic level will be destined to create a climate of growing hostility. Yeah, they're going to grow the hostility and even violence. I mean, boy, it's just all there. How, I mean, it's just like, read. And I'm finished.
Yeah.
Well, needless to say, audience, so that all the due diligence we've looked at on the Occupy Wall Street, it nothing looks good about it. It's two factions of evil. You mingle in, just generally, some socialists, some communists, some mingling of this, mingling of that, and you just have a situation that is perilous.
Yes, it's a very ugly pale green after you mix it all together.
And you're told, you know, this is scripturally, it's spiritual Babylon, it's spiritual Egypt.
Absolutely, spiritual Babylon and Egypt.
And Nebuchadnezzar and Pharaoh, they're running the show now.
That's right.
So we can use the Old Testament and samples for current events. Now, what's
right,
Pharaoh doing?
There arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph.
Yes.
That's where we are. That.
And in these analogies, you see that, you know, look at Pharaoh. And all that Pharaoh's doing, and people that are following Pharaoh, well, Pharaoh relied on the sorcerers and the magicians. And that's what you have right now. And of course, the money changers are in there. You know, you follow the money, the root of all evil, and you'll find that the hands of people with money that are gathering great wealth are in there. And it's all bad. And it's, you know, mingling in a little nuclear holocaust going on in the Pacific Ocean. A little core exit going on in the Gulf of Mexico, which BP was granted another run at the polluting the oceans. Mm. And you have the time of revelation. And in terms of understanding our Lord Jesus Christ's admonishments to us to study yourself approved, that is because in your generation you're seeing the famine on the land, and that famine is for the word. And these, the Vatican doesn't have the word, and Occupy Wall Street doesn't have the word, and the majority of people on the majority of the inhabitants of the earth do not have the word. And if they are following idol shepherds, or mingled doctrine, if they're in doctrines of demon, you know, name all 422 denominations to 35,000 different churches to this and that and 501c and you have revelation. And revelation is spoken through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the spirit of revelation, the spirit of prophecy. And in chapter 11, as we do our to bring out the key identifications, I'd like to just go over a few Old Testament and New Testament scriptures in preparation. We're told in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee." And this is very key, audience. Stand. "And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me unto this very day." Audience, this very day, that's now.
That's true.
"And they are impudent children, stiff-hearted, I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear," and that forbear is to forsake the hearing of the truth, the hearing of the gospel, for they are a rebellious house. Yet shall know that there hath seen a prophet among them. Now, audience, what the prophet Ezekiel is an example is to stand yourself, because houses are not in order. You know, not prepared for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not the temple of the Lord. They're in the outer court of Revelation 11, being trampled on by serpents and scorpions. In Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And audience, the events in our generation, the Occupy Wall Street, the Fukushima, and the inhabitants of the earth, these examples were told, you know, with the diminishment of the word and the strong delusion upon the church, that it's time to, you know, really study yourself approved, that you're prepared with the gospel. And you're escaping to the inner court, because the outer court is absolutely, gentlemen, would we say the outer court is really being trampled right now?
Yes.
Have you seen one of those big steamrollers that when they roll the pavement?
Yeah.
That's about what I see. Or maybe tiger tanks coming through the forest.
So the inhabitants of the earth are now identified in Revelation as Babylon and spiritual Egypt. And we're told to come out of her. And the harlot is identified as the church. And we have the it just so happens that there was not, and shall ascend, and that kind of sounds like Israel to me. Physical Israel, gentlemen? Bill, Chris?
Absolutely, that's a beast that was not. The Catholic Church is another one, too. They're a beast that was, is not, and they're ascending back. Those two are probably going to be joined together in a way. But absolutely I agree with you on that. That is definitely a reading on there, Bob, of that the beast that shall ascend.
It's really a manifestation of the beast and the false prophet, Israel and Rome. I mean, basically Rome took over as the beast, you know, wandered in the, you know, trying to find rest and finding none.
That's true.
The false prophet basically has ruled since the time of the destruction of the temple, and now, you know, with
that
the rise
religious of thought, that religious thought out of the mouth of the false prophet is now created a beast to wander back to. Yeah.
Uh huh. Right. Yeah, that's right. Because they work hand in hand. They're in collusion with each other. You know, we've studied that extensively on these shows. You know, the ones with the spy versus spy, or we had spy versus spy. You know, the beast and the false prophet. You know, it's all part of Satan's two factions of evil. He's got to have two factions, otherwise, the two polarities have to be at work there, which is what is the key to Satan's mischief. You know, is that he's always causing the doubt and the
absolutely because if he doesn't have two factions. That's where all the energy comes from. You're right.
Yeah.
If he just had one lie, people would figure it out and they would be gone.
And as we continue on, the Old Testament now is telling, you know, this very vast tale of basically the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the manifestations of our generation are greatly different than they were 20 years ago. This is a snowball turning into an avalanche.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's coming faster and faster with these...
Yeah, Milton Green was... It's going to move faster, right? Yeah, Milton Green was warning of this in the 80s, and since that time, and everything he spoke about was true. You could see the church falling away then and all the apostasy, and it's become much worse since that time when he was speaking of it.
So as we go into this study, the prophet Jeremiah 16:17, "For mine eyes upon all their ways, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes." And that's the iniquity of their heart, audience. The Lord knows your heart. He knows who's circumcised and he knows who's not. "And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled my inheritance with carcasses of their detestable and abominable things." And there's nothing more detestable to our Lord than idol worship. And these idol shepherds and these churches that are falling away are leading all their congregations into idol worship. "O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge, in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord." Bill?
Your heart. God says that he desires that none should perish and all should come to repentance. He's long-suffering. But he is not slack.
No, audience. This is a heart attack. This is sobering as it gets.
You know, that was a really good verse, Bob. You know, but God, you know, God is long-suffering. But... you know,
well, he's infinitely patient, but his patience are not infinite. You know, infinitely patient, you know, it means that he's going to redeem all sin. If you just come to him in your wicked ways and repent, he's infinitely patient. You can lay down a sinner's head, but his patience are not infinite. Just like the case with Noah after he preached for 120 years and the ark door was shut.
Right.
Yeah. And that was the end of it.
Yep.
Did we lose Bob?
No. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Audience, we're having some technical difficulties. We're going to try and carry on. As we move into the study, we move into the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi 3:15, "And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him, for they feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name." That remembrance, audience, a memorial to the Lord, that's a record, Lord. That's you studying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being able to have the recollection of scriptures so that you're not deceived or you're not tossed to and fro by every wind. Because in Revelation, we're going to start specifically, these Old Testament into New Testament scriptures will have more of an impact on Revelation chapter 11 when you have this identity. "And they shall be, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Audience, that famine on the land, the famine for the word, that's this event going on right now. And the tale is the story of the wise virgins and the unwise virgins. And don't think spiritually that this a virgin is just a woman. It's a man or a woman. And some, the wise virgins are prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the unwise virgins, it's not to know their heart. Luke 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So our Lord is teaching in parables, audience, because these Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees are trusting in themselves. And they're not studying themselves approved, as the Lord in many accounts tells them, it is written, it is written, it is written. And finally, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found, even to fight against God. An audience, this is Nicodemus explaining that, you know, this is of God, all this that's going on. And you can't stop it. And in our generation, you have to understand, even as sobering as it is, fleshly mess, the mingling, the pale horse that's upon the land, you know, this is of the Lord. This is his judgment. His judgment comes as a flood in lies. And these key identifications are going to explain these lies that are upon the land. Revelations 11:4. These oak trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Chris?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Yeah, that's something that Zechariah brings light to. Zechariah chapter 4, it says, and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and the seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes and seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. The two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, the other upon the left side thereof. And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive trees, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So, I mean, this is a pretty clear account of Revelation chapter 11, verse 4. As you know, you see all kinds of symbology in here. And I'll tell you, there's probably more here than we're going to go into in this study right now. Just because this just sets the stage for the following verses that are just so huge. But we see, you know, the seven, the number seven, the seven churches, you know, having the oil flowing into them from Jesus Christ, the anointing, you know, the anointed prophets that are being prepared here to speak the truth into the world, which is where we are. And all these accounts of the apostasy of Old Testament Israel that are there for an example for our admonition upon whom the end of the world has come is playing out. And this apostasy, this great apostasy that has fallen upon the land is all for God's purpose. It's all here. It's all exactly the way he explained would happen. And his process of restoring his people, you know, for his eternal purpose that we don't know. This stuff, that's why it is so absolutely important what Bob says, that we must study. There's no way a man's common sense or his own rationale is going to even get him close to understanding the Lord, because it says, the natural man understands not the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. Rely not on your own understanding. And this is the problem, because our own understanding, well, that gets us to the point where we're worshiping the image of the beast. Because, you know, the image of the beast is this fleshly god that we create in our own minds that, fits our agenda, and it allows us to, proceed in our lives with, an outlet for our guilt that we get from sin. And this is what the harlot church is today, is, a safe haven for the image of the beast, because basically the pews are full of people who are worshiping the god that they have contrived in their mind.
And as we continue on, audience, this is the proper rendering of Scripture. Candlestick at a light, all good. Standing, all good. There's multiple layers of Scripture that are involved in this similitude, in this analogy. And we don't have time in the study to go over all of them. But all good.
All good.
Yes. Bill? I absolutely agree. We can move on to what it would be, verse 5 next, if you gentlemen.
I mean, we would say that these are the ones who have passed the test of the rod. These were the ones that were measured and were found
worthy.
There's
no guile in their mouth,
right?
And they're not being pushed to and fro from the doctrines of men of idol shepherds, which is ultimately the doctrines of demons.
Right, they're not being seduced by
flatteries.
Right, seduced by evil spirits and flatteries and doctrines of demons. Right, seducing spirits, should I say?
They have entered into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. They are doing His will. That they are the five wise virgins. Revelation 11:5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Chris?
Yeah, it's, Jeremiah chapter 5 is a good account of that, And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Now these are the false prophets that are developing here, and this is the group that are threatening to hurt the two witnesses. And in this verse, we're seeing God's protection upon His prophets, because His prophets are nourished in the wilderness, and they are protected from the flood of lies. And this is what's taking place here. Wherefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from afar, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, it is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandeth what they say. Their quiver is an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men. I mean, this is the army out of the north. You know, this is the Gog-Magog war going on here. Absolutely, this is the Gog-Magog war happening here. And this, verse 5 is talking about, the battle. Because this is a battle of words, you know. This is the fire coming out of the mouths that is, being fought in the heavenlies. But it's taking place physically here as these words are being spoken, the truth and the lies. The fire is proceeding out of their mouth and devouring the enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Bill, if you can jump in with the verse we were talking about in the pre-show, it's in the Gospels about the, you know, Jesus' warning to the scribes and Pharisees. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right, in Matthew 23.
Yeah.
He's addressing this as he woed them eight times in that chapter. The reason he woed them eight times is a signature of their falling away. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. And I believe there's another account, and I'm not sure if it's Luke or Mark, where he says you block others from entering the kingdom. And, you know.
Receive the greater damnation.
They receive the greater damnation. You know, it says they devour widows' houses for a penance and make long prayer. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation.
And it's told in Zechariah 2:8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Well, the apple of his eye, that's you, audience. You that are standing and studying yourself approved and understanding your generation, preparing the way for our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all good. But it's a spiritual application. And in spiritual application, you know, you sometimes are led to, you know, this is going to happen in the flesh, but it hasn't transpired. And out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies, that could be the gospel. I'm one layer, Bill?
Yeah. You're absolutely right, yeah. Yes.
Because if it's a flood of lies coming in your life, audience, where you turn on your TV or you turn on your radio and you're getting a 501c multi-million dollar radio announcer, pastor, and you're listening to that, trying to get just the bare milk because you're starving. You're starving for the word. You will not be deceived. Because you're studying yourself approved. And that's what we're admonished to do. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Bill?
Yeah, if any man will hurt them, that's... This is speaking, it appears to be speaking here to me, to the multitudes. I think Brother Chris and Bob are in agreement with me on this. Because the sealed remnant inside the, in verse 1 in this chapter, you cannot spiritually hurt the sealed remnant. Whoever they are in the inner court.
Very important to understand, audience, that this is not a physical manifestation currently.
No.
This is, you know, they cannot, their doctrine, their pre-tribulation rapture has no effect on you. You know what's wrong because you studied it yourself.
Right, that's a very good example.
The Zionist flesh, Israel in the Middle East. Well, you know that they're not, they may be scriptural, but they're not in Christ, so they're bad. Is it for us to judge how bad? We want to see them all saved.
Right.
Amen. We want to see every knee bow to our Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone that's preaching another gospel, these are the ones that you're able to stand against. Chris?
You stand against all the wiles of the devil.
Yeah, you know, there's
he's got a lot of wiles.
Now there's this hurt. You know, the word hurt is a very key word in this passage of scripture. And you know, we have to at this juncture here. This is a battle of words. This is the battle of the fire coming out of the mouths. You know, it's the same thing that's taken place, Revelation 9, and chapter 3, you know, 9 verse 3. there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their forehead. So here we see the locusts hurting those that dwell on the earth, the ones that are worshiping the beast, the ones who are not sealed by God on their forehead. Those are the ones that are being hurt, that the locusts are allowed, that God is allowing to hurt. In other words, to deceive by the fire that's coming out of their mouth. So that's taking place here. And to them, it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now, this is, talking about the same thing that, as far as hurting, hurting, torment, it's the same thing. But, let's just keep going, and it's going to explain itself. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee them. Now, this is the time that whenever this is, when no man can work, when the gospel message will no longer have effect, this is brutal. It's very controversial, but it's there. It's in Scripture. It's the plumb line. It's the time when God says enough. He is long-suffering, wishing that none should perish. But like we talked about, there's a time when the door of the ark goes up. And this is a time when somebody's going to want to die to themselves, die to the flesh. Because this is who's getting hurt here. This is the ones who are getting hurt here are the ones who are living in the flesh. They're not. They don't have the power to tread on these serpents and scorpions. So they're being hurt by the serpents and scorpions. And they're being hurt by being deceived, by being... having the mark of the beast. They're marked as merchandise in the harlot system, and this is what's taking place here. Revelation 9:19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Now there's the serpents and the scorpions, and they hurt with the power in their mouths. And Job talks about the same thing. What did Job deal with? He was dealing with Leviathan and Behemoth, but he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. I mean, this is talking about the grass that is not, they should not hurt the grass. The grass is a reference to Abraham's seed, to the offspring that God is protecting here, the covenant people. These are all understandings that just help us understand who the grass of the earth is. Psalm 72:16, they shall be a handful of corn in the earth. There's the remnant upon the top of the mountains, the high places, and these spiritual high places. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. These are, one more, nevertheless leave the stump of his root in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, serpents and scorpions there, and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. This is the portion, the remnant, out there dealing with the beasts, the serpents and scorpions. And, there's so much to try to put light on what's actually taking place here in this, these that are hurt and, being admonished not to be hurt. And what I'm seeing here is this is the multitudes in the valley of decision becoming the remnant here. And God warning them, don't go ahead, Bill.
I'm sorry. You could say it might be a big, for lack of better words, might be the transition, really.
This is what this is, absolutely. And it's the the multitudes that were measured, you know, the dynamics of how this is taking place as they enter the inner court, you know, what is taking place there as they're trampled, you know, under tribulation. But I'm seeing that this is the end times voices that the Lord is raising up here, and he is warning the serpents and scorpions not to hurt them. And you know, there's the, you know, in Revelation 13:10, which, you know, we said earlier tonight, you know, we see like the first six chapters of Revelation as like the account of Revelation. Then it kind of starts over again in chapter 7, and you know, you get more detail from a different angle of the progression there. And it's very hard to put, you know, things in order in Revelation because it's a vision. And, you know, it's just kind of like layer upon layer upon layer. But we're just trying to do our best, taking this stuff in the order that it is here in Scripture. And hopefully by the time we get done with this study, you know, we'll have are we going to understand this thing completely? No, we're not. I mean, but we're getting, you know, the Lord's given us what we need. He promises, you know, to give us our daily bread. And, you know, this is what we're doing. But Revelation 13:10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. So that's huge, you know. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. But this is somehow, you know, God is watching out for his saints. And the ones that are deceived, you know, with the sword, you know, killed, hurt. I mean, I'm seeing that this is metaphoric here still with the killing and being led into captivity. We know captivity as being deception, you know, being taken into Babylonian captivity. And, you know, somehow this is what the Lord is doing here for us, is he is, if any man hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. You know, that's how you can interpret this verse, 11:5. Take out the other text in between the commas. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So however these men are hurt, they're going to be hurt, you know. And they're hurt by the sword. They're hurt by the words. And the ones that you know, I see this is a decision here. This is the multitudes in the valley of decision. And some don't make it, you know, through this. But this is the Lord's process, Revelation chapter 11, of him putting together his army, the army that does come against the, you know, the powers out of the north, the northern army, the locust army that devours, that you know, the that roars like a lion, you know, with the cheek teeth of a lion, and you know, eats the bark of the trees, you know, eats the covering off the trees. The trees are a metaphor for the multitudes, because as this chapter continues, you know, we're seeing this army rise up. And, you know, one of the key portions of Scripture is Isaiah 37, when the Valley of Dry Bones, and the Lord breathes life into these bones, and they stand upon their feet, a great army, you know. And we're going to see that, you know, the New Testament account of that same event here in Revelation chapter 11 later, as their dead bodies, you know, stand up. And, you know, we're just working our way through this very tricky, very, very difficult piece of Scripture. But, you know, I got to hand it to Bill for coming up with the idea a couple months ago. He said, if we can really, you know, get a handle on Revelation 11, I think it's going to be a huge key. And he's right. It is. And I'm excited because the Lord is opening it up. It's all there. It's just this is one we need to work for. You know, he's really making us dig here. But it's very exciting. You know, I can't stop thinking about this, you know, when I'm out working or driving, and I can't wait to get home and get back on eSword and, you know, answer some questions that the Lord gives me as I go. And, you know, it's just very neat. You know, I'll tell you what's happening. This is just-in-time, you know, Scripture, too, because the Lord's definitely on a need-to-know basis. And this is opening up, I think, because it's time. You know, this thing is upon us. as this apostasy is all part of God's purpose, all for God's perfect plan. That we talk about how few are in the truth, you know, and we see this dynamic in Scripture with Gideon, and his army was too big. You know, the Lord brought it down to just what he needed to accomplish his purpose. And you know, as this thing plays out, you know, it's just such a thrill to be, you know, accounted as part of God's plan. You know, what a privilege that he gives us by being, you know, a covenant God to us, allowing us to enter in a covenant relationship with him, where we are able to be protected, you know, from these, you know, end time serpents and scorpions that are on the land.
Bill?
Yeah, amen. Gideon's army was too big. Yeah, I know you've worked really hard on this, Chris. You're seeing getting better understanding. I think the Lord gave me the idea that it was here, and he was the one working through you to get the identities out.
Yeah, I was
really, really struggling with this. I've been really struggling with it.
I really took the challenge. I mean, that's all I needed to hear. Was it a challenge or an assignment or whatever? And you know, it was very exciting. And I've been kind of wanting to. That's what did it, you know, so that's what, you know, God's using us here, this little church, you know, the three of us, two or three are gathered together, you know, iron sharpening iron, and I don't know how, there's no way, you know, we could go through this alone, you know, but the three of us working together, you know, is just such a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. And audience, when you have these identities, in terms of, it's as basic as wheat and tares. It's as complex as wise and foolish virgins. But ultimately, you will see this in your studies, is the focus on Jesus Christ. It is he who gives revelation. Listen to no man. Man is being tossed to and fro in this time. And the proper rendering of Scripture is that that's what's going to happen in the end time generation. And it's going to happen this way with lies, a flood of lies, literally that blot out the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, the finished works of the cross. And the plumb line is anyone that is not in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ is out there, and they're starving, and they're in captivity, they're enslaved, and those that are seeing this, it is all grace from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And there's no other explanation for it. You know, who was born for such a time as this? It is not of our own devices that we have a proper rendering of Scripture. It is of the Lord. And this is telling the very few that are left that are studying themselves approved exactly what's happening in their generation because they are witness. Last week we studied as, you know, who's the witnesses? Well, you're a witness. If you're in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ, because the Comforter is a witness, the Holy Spirit. And the third, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes three.
Yep.
Where three are gathered.
Yeah, two or more are gathered and three are gathered.
So we find
the church seems to think it's the gathering of 3,000 in a stadium.
Or the gathering of eagles.
Or the gathering of eagles, right.
Audience, you would not believe the last week we Chris keeps an update on the Elijah list. And they were having a seminar where eagles are gathered. And this was their headline, you know, come to where the eagles gathered seminar. Now, where eagles are gathered scripturally is where the carcasses are. And they do not see this. and the Joel's Army. There's a Joel's Army movement out there, and they think they're good.
And the newest one this week that I think Brother Chris sent me today was Warriors International Online School of Prophets. You know, you can obtain your four levels, and you can do this over the internet. You know, this sounds like I can't even believe
Simon.
You know,
Magus.
I think I told Bob earlier this evening and pre-show that if you took a Christian from 1900 and brought him here today and showed him this, I just don't think they would believe it. You know, it's almost like taking John out of the spirit and bringing him.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. You have like that thing you're talking about. They had the picture of all the happy people that are part of this school that they go
and just got their online college degrees to speak the doctrine, you know.
And they're just jumping for joy, smile from ear to ear. And, you know, we're seeing the account of the church, of the end time remnant body in sackcloth and ashes, you know? And it's like, what's up with that? It just, you know, they just have no clue what's coming their way. This freight train that's heading down the pike, it's just barreling down on the church, this judgment. Because this is what this is judgment. You know, this is the time. You know, this is the time, all the accounts in the Old Testament, Lamentations, you know, all of the apostasy and, you know, this is it now. This is the Lord stepping in. This is when the Lord steps in, you know, here from now on into this, the remainder of this chapter. And, not good, you know, not good. But we, you know, we've got to just, you know, I had a friend over today and he said, what's the matter with you? You know, you seem so, I can't remember the word he used, you know, but I'm in sackcloth and ashes, you know. And, you know, I'm not jumping for joy right now. You know, I'll be honest with you. I got the peace inside of me that I know. I'm thrilled, privileged to be a part of this. But, you know, I've got a lump in my throat most of the time, you know, for my loved ones that are just caught in this harlot system of flatteries where they're being told everything's okay and you know, every swing of the Dow average, you know, dictates their mood and their feelings, and oh, you know the Dow's rallying. You know, I'm okay today, and you know, this that kind of life, and you know, soon this is all going to be reconciled, and you know, we are as God's remnant body, you know, in mourning over Israel, over the apostasy that's come upon the house of Israel, and you know, it's just it's very sobering.
And audience, proceeding, 11:6. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will.
Wow.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, that's Deuteronomy. Well, you know, this is... You know, this is the modern manifestation of the plagues. You know, the patterns in Egypt, you know, are playing out again. You know, the locusts, the waters turning to blood. You know, the fountains of living water in the churches are now blood. And you know, there's this thing that I'm trying to. Really understand how Moses actually administered the plagues, you know, how God administered the plagues, you know, protecting Moses, however the dynamics took place, which is what I'm attempting to see. But you see, like in Deuteronomy 11:17, and then the Lord's wrath was kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there was no rain. You know, this is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is shut off right now. This is the reason the church is in apostasy, because they're not getting the revelation from God. You know, and somehow this is the way the Lord is doing it, that he's got these random voices in the wilderness speaking the truth. you know, the days of their prophecy, you know, which is now, which is now. And for some reason now, the rain is shut off. The spigot is shut off. Why does God do it this way? I don't know. This is the way he's doing it. You know, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee. It's like, you know, you would think that God would pour out more so that they would come back or something, but no. He just, you know, this is strong delusion. You know, the fact that those that love not the truth aren't going to get any truth. They're going to get strong delusion. And, first Deuteronomy 11:17, 1 Kings 8:35, 2 Chronicles 6:26, and I'll jump, 6:26, and then it reiterates it right there in the very popular verse. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you know, where it says, 13 says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, which is this locust army that, manifested physically in the Old Testament, now today, this locust army of deception out of the bottomless pit has devoured the sound doctrine in the church, and, and I send pestilence among my people. What's the next verse here in 2 Chronicles? But if the people that are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes are open, my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. And then what happens at the end of chapter 7, 2 Chronicles? But this is the big thing they don't hear in the churches. They don't hear an if. It's always, heaven forbid you talk about anything that goes against, unconditional grace that the church believes today, the corrupted covenant. Well, 2 Chronicles 7:18, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee man to be ruler in Israel. This is what God is saying to Solomon, according to the covenant he made with David. But there's a but in the next verse. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of the land. You know, this is the deal, and this is where we are today, because it's just over and over and over again, the same thing. You know, this is if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my covenants, I'm going to shut off the rain. You know, this is what God did, and this is what he's done right now. And I know there's some people out there that are kind of looking for a Jonah Nineveh kind of thing here, but I don't see it. It's not with this global, apostate world church on the scene. This is it. This is definitely the end game. This thing doesn't cycle anymore. As I go along too, I want to make a correction here because I said something a couple weeks ago that I want to correct. And I said kind of dogmatically that I didn't see another election happening. And I'll tell you what I don't see is I don't see another president past Obama. That's what I don't see. The way things are looking here, there's a good chance they'll get that maniac back in for four more. I don't know how this is all going to play out, but that's the thing. I absolutely see Obama completely tied to the UN pale horse agenda. He's definitely a pawn of the
Vatican. One way I see that he could stay in is the Republican. It's botch it so bad.
Which Sarah could be Paulin, happening.
Sarah Paulin is, she gives the impression of being dumber than dumb enough dumb, And they could botch the thing so bad that it actually pushes Obama back in.
Yeah.
That's another avenue that I've been seeing lately as a possibility.
But we see the signatures of this manifestation of the pale horse here. Clearly, the Fourth Reich. And what's the fourth? The pale horse is the fourth beast. The diverse fourth beast, and this is what this move is. This Wall Street deal, the whole thing, and it's all this. And why? It's because of the apostasy of the house of God. The house of God has fallen into idolatry. This is the judgment. See, this is the judgment. We're reading Revelation chapter 11, which is the account of the three woes. You know, it's woe, woe, woe. What are the plagues? The plagues are the woes. Woe unto you. You know, and it's exactly what Moses did to the Egyptians, you know, when they would not release his people from slavery. This is the dynamic taking place going on right now, real time. And, you know, I was going to really count on my buddy Bob there to expound on the plagues here, because he's been working pretty hard on this lately with bringing the modern spiritual renditions of these plagues, the locusts, the waters turning to blood. You know, what do you think, Bob?
Well, the waters turning to blood, you just common sense, you know, you can't drink them anymore. They're dead. And everything that's in them is dead. The living water is our Lord Jesus Christ, audience.
Yeah, they've done the miracle of turning the wine into water. And yes, obviously the
many renderings come.
Yeah, the blood is many renderings, right? Absolutely, absolutely. But always, no matter what he does, he always leans to his own understanding and winds up doing exactly what he didn't want to do in the beginning.
Yeah, which is what we just saw in 2 Chronicles, the account of Solomon. You know, Solomon went on into the eighth, went on into perdition, you know, which is exactly the pattern that the church has fallen into today. Helping God, you know, building and climbing their way into heaven, you know. And nothing's new under the sun.
And now you're turning to, in our current events, it's the largest structure of Christians, the Catholic Church, is they want to take over the money. They want to be good stewards of their money.
Good steward, right, out of the abundance of the heart. It comes right out of the abundance of the heart. You can see by all the good messages in there, it sounds so good on the surface. But the true abundance of the heart is exposed there in that news.
And these are the same ilk that in the Middle Ages would sell you indulgences. Mm-hmm. They would go to a widow's house and say that your husband, he's stuck. He's stuck and he can't get out of some layaway point before he could go to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And if you don't sign over your land deed, he's going to stay there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
That's who now wants to have a global economy, be in charge of. Talk about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Let God judge them. He knows all their hearts. They're
absolutely.
No good.
That absolutely, yes, right. Vengeance be it mine, saith the Lord.
Yes, and this vengeance audience is very telling that it's so scriptural that because they do not study the scriptures and they do not understand the word of God and they are not fed the manna of God, the meat of scripture.
Right, these are the ones that were following behind for the free bread.
Yes.
Jesus finally had to tell them, you know, if you don't eat of my flesh, you drink of my blood. And, you know, then they turned, murmured amongst themselves, and came back no more.
And that's their judgment. They came back no more, and they went into Zionism. They went into rapture. Or worse yet, they got the greater damnation and knowledge, profited from it, and they went into perdition. The living water is... Go ahead.
Just telling the people that they can be saved by quoting a sinner's prayer and not to be worried because Jesus took care of everything on the cross. And, you know, that's what they're teaching in so many of these places.
Chris, anything else?
Well, you know, this is what I'm hoping to tie this into now.
Okay, go ahead.
Guess what? Well, there's a happy ending, okay, because these plagues, what happened? Pharaoh said, you know, I mean, Moses said, let my people go. And, you know, there's a dynamic going on here with these plagues that end up in freedom, you know, in freedom from bondage that we're seeing, you know. And this is the process taking place here in Revelation 11. You know, and thou said unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrew has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear, you know. But, you know, this is the thing that's happening here. And, you know, somehow when we this Revelation chapter 6 and this playing out of the, you know, the plagues, what happens? Come out of her, my people, that you are not a partaker of her iniquity and plagues, you know. This is the call right now going on here in Revelation 11. Come out of her. Come to the wilderness, you know, just like it had happened at the time of Moses. And somehow these plagues that are coming upon the earth dwellers, the serpents and scorpions, are going to end up in setting the captives free. Because the multitude does get free of this, you know. They get free of the slavery. So, you know, like, what about the dynamic there, Bill, as far as the plagues just got so bad and what Pharaoh just was, and then he ended up with the killing the firstborn, right? Was that the last plague? And then he ended up basically heaping judgment upon himself, which is the exact thing that's taken place.
Right,
here.
It's all...
It's brilliant.
It's the irony. It's the irony.
Yeah. But there's just so much here. As this, you know, I will do a work in your day that if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it. It's the Gog Magog war, where the apostate of the church is basically the implementation of the judgment upon themselves. You know, they judge themselves, they condemn themselves the exact same way Pharaoh did. It's huge.
And it's very difficult, audience, when you're looking at this as a spiritual account.
Right.
You have the understanding that it's woe unto these people. And that woe is, this is the judgment of the Lord. That these plagues are of the Lord. And they go to the individual. So when you're told that you are the holy temple of the Lord, you know, repent. Enter into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. And you look around and see how many people have done that. You find that the entire country of Egypt was engulfed in plagues. And that's what's happening now, but they're spiritual plagues where they're not in the truth. And they don't recognize our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to just absolutely gnashing of the teeth. There's millions and millions of people thinking there's going to be some millennial kingdom. Now, when I come as a thief in the night is a very simple, proper rendering of, you know, if you're not prepared now, it could come at any time. But unlike other generations, you couldn't see the falling away 20 years ago like it is now, where it's totally apostate. Where right. Those buildings are empty sepulchers of dry, dead bones.
Amen.
And there's a miracle for this audience, and it's of the Lord. Because somewhere along the line, everybody's going to have to realize every knee will bow. And everyone will be in the truth. But we're admonished to study yourself approved, be a lively stone. Do the will of the Father, no matter what's going on in the world. You don't have to fear your economic insecurities or where this is happening or that's happening on a fleshly basis. You have to fear God and follow our Lord Jesus Christ to the narrow gate to strive. Run. It's a race. Dur. This is what we're gleaning from Revelations 11, audience. On one level, it's all bad, but if you're understanding and you are seeking our Lord Jesus Christ, it's all good. The whole thing you'll ever, you couldn't tell somebody a story and they'd believe it. That those in the church are the ones deceived. They don't believe it. And they don't believe it because they will not study themselves approved. Bill?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, to me, this is probably, if anybody out there is still wavering on the fence, maybe having a little bit of trouble understanding this or seeing it, I'd like to say that we have never in the entire history of the world that I know, and I'm pretty astute in history, never, ever, has there been a peace and safety message like today? Ever. I'm talking about a fleshly peace and safety. It's literally plastered onto everything you see. You'll have a green on your bottle of cleaner or something to protect and peace or to save safety of the world. It's literally on everything. There's nothing but a continuous bombardment of peace and safety. And, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians that this would be the time, he said, when they shall say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction come upon them, as they travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
And then all we've got is this beast empire mowing down these rogue nations one after another. Since go back as far as we want to go. Now that and it's just ultimately fomenting the hatred between the Muslims and the Christians. But with this, this taking down of Gaddafi in Libya. As the last ruler that they, turned on, all betrayal. He was all part of their New World Agenda, and they took him out. You said to me this week, and I a little more about it than I do. I only remember it. But what I remember of South Africa was already, bad. But
South Africa was probably had the number one standard of living in the world after World War II.
And the beast government destroyed it, which is what they've been doing.
Joseph Mandela and communism, and I'm sure the Vatican was behind all that.
Yeah, and it's just, this is just one after another. There's only a few left.
The Belgian Congo was starting to prosper, too, in the 1960s. They did the same thing there.
And don't you find it ironic that the President of the United States was shaking hands with this guy a year ago?
Yeah, right. I mean, this is just these serpents and scorpions on the political layer are just pure evil, you know?
And, who are we to point fingers? And we don't know what the Lord's having them do. We forgive them. They know not what they do.
Yeah, they're carrying out God's purpose, no different than Pharaoh, you know? Just like, I just got to read a little bit of Exodus because it's just so awesome. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them, there was no such locust as they, neither after them had such. They covered the face of the whole earth so that the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land and the fruit of the trees, which is the hail, which that the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. And then, just later on, God, it says to how God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. The Lord said to Moses, yet I will bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. And, this is what we're seeing. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. And, this is where chapter 11's heading, because we see this final plague of the all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant. that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall there be any more. And, you know, this is where we are. And this is what's going to, you know, I'll close out tonight with this. I'm feeling pretty confident that we covered verse 6. And this is what we have. We have the plagues. We have the modern manifestations of the plagues. Today, you know, November 2011, the plagues of Egypt are on the land. You know, the winds of tribulation are upon us. You know, the wind of false doctrine. You know, people are being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, symbology there with the wind, the tribulation, and that is caused by the people, you know, forsaking studying to show themselves approved, and in turn have dug cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that hold no water. You know, my people have committed two evils, and this is what we have today, you know. But God's preserved his remnant voice in the wilderness, and he has caused it, just as he did in times past, to shut up heaven, that there would be no rain in the days of their prophecy, which is now. And this is leading up to the time when Pharaoh lets his people go. And in some, you know, manifestation, the apostate portion of the church, there's a portion that will return. They will once again take root downward, and they will again bring forth fruit upward. And we're going to see that in the weeks to come, and it's exciting because it's here. And these are your friends and loved ones to pray for, and you know, be ready to give an account. And with that, I'll say good night, and thanks to you, everybody, for following with us, and I just love you all very much. This is Chris Ardern.
Brother Bill.
Yes, I said, I would say that pray that he should be accounted worthy to escape all things, and the only escape in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other name under heaven.
Audience, closing 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, as they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Ardern and Bill Johnson. Good night.
Congregation splits.